Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here with an RHAP flashback. That's right. So what you're about to hear is an old podcast that I'm putting into the feed because I think it's interesting at this point in time. Okay, so this podcast was originally recorded 1 year ago this week. I spoke with Tyson on the Friday after Thanksgiving in 2012, aka Black Friday. And so Tyson was not out doing doorbusters. He was talking with me, and we were talking about the current season of Survivor, which at that time was Survivor Philippines. Now, Tyson and I have done many podcasts, and we've had him on the podcast once a season, basically from Survivor Nicaragua on. But Tyson at this point in time wasn't super thrilled with Survivor as a whole. And he hadn't really been watching this season, the current season that was on in Survivor Philippines. So he had watched a couple episodes, and we talked about a little bit of the show. But I ended up talking about a lot of different things at the time. And it actually kind of makes this podcast a little more evergreen than the typical podcast that we do. So we ended up talking about a lot of different things, including some of Tyson's thoughts about Survivor as a whole towards the end, and really some very interesting stuff. And I feel like you get a really interesting look at the guy who I feel like is in the most interesting position still in the game. And off the top of my head, I think this is one of the top 10 podcasts that we've ever done on RHAP. So I think you guys will enjoy it. And you have a couple days here. The Thanksgiving break is coming up. We're going to do Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night, but then we're not going to have our weekly podcast until Friday. So you have a couple extra days. So here's an extra couple of hours of podcasts for you new listeners who've never heard this one before, or for you guys who may have missed it over the Thanksgiving holiday a year ago, or if you heard it a year ago and you want to listen to it again, it's actually very interesting to go back and listen to on the second time around. So in honor of Black Friday, if you want to do any of your online shopping while you listen to this podcast, or any time this week, you want to get these Black Friday deals. Don't go outside and wait for the store to open at 2 o'clock in the morning like a crazy person. Just go on your computer, go to Amazon.com because they have got everything. And they've got the Black Friday deals week where they have special deals going on all week, including they've got the whole thing with the gold box deals, which is like things that they have available for only a couple of hours. So you got to keep checking it out if you want to find the best prices on this stuff. And so if you're interested in checking this out, go to robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday. That takes you to the Amazon.com Black Friday homepage that's set up with our link. So when you make a purchase there, it helps support the podcast, and we always appreciate it, especially when you guys are doing your shopping this time of year. So enjoy the bonus podcast here, our flashback with Tyson from November 25th, 2012. All right, everybody, here it is, your early Christmas present. I've been out shopping. I got online very early this morning on Black Friday. I beat out everybody at the Best Buy. Here's your doorbuster, everybody. The one and only Tyson Apostle.
OMG, dude. You don't even know how early Rob had to get up to get me. I think it was like 10 a.m. You had to wake up at 10, which is 11 my time.
Yeah. So, and you were so cheap today.
I was what?
You were very cheap today.
I was, yeah. I was 40% off.
So, it's a good deal.
Yeah, it's hard to pass up a deal like that.
All right, well, here he is. I believe, I may be off on this, I believe this is your sixth appearance on the podcast here with us, and always a treat. We try to do it every season, although it was a little difficult this season because you have not been following the Survivor this season.
No, I haven't. And people are, I mean, we've gone over this before. You know, I kind of got half recruited for the show. Wasn't a huge fan before. I always assumed it was just my parents' show and their generation. And only for you, Rob, have I watched the seasons I haven't been on.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Now,
yeah,
I think every Survivor goes through a bit of burnout here and there. I mean, I don't think there's anybody through the history of the show that's watched it. Maybe Sandra. But other than her, I don't think there's anybody that has, you know, gone through and watched the show and never had a period where they're burnt out and takes a season off here and there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's paid off for her too, to watch every single episode of every single season. So, maybe I'm the fool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Have you taken breaks?
I did take a break. I mean, I was in it from the beginning. Then I was on it. Then I was, you know, then I was watching it and commentating on it after I was on it. And then there reached a point around like the middle seasons, like around like 13 to 18 or so, I was sort of in and out. And I've gone back and watched those seasons. But yeah, that was like I had like basically about 2 years over the 11 or 12 year history of the show where I was sort of not all in.
That's still very good.
Still pretty. I have pretty good attendance. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 80%, you'd still get a B.
I'd still get a B. So anyway, speaking of letter grades, this is a season which a lot of people have given an A. People think this has been a very good season, Tyson. You've been missing out. That you should have picked a boring one to skip. Yeah.
Yes, I could. Are we recording now?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. Yeah, I was banking on this season being another Fiji or Thailand. In I don't know, entertainment value, but I've never seen those two seasons, so I'm just going off what everybody else says.
You've heard they're bad.
So, I've heard they're bad, so I missed this season, but every season people say it's awesome. There's a certain number of people that say the season is awesome, and when I watch it, for me, it's all the same. You have a bunch of weirdos, you know, eccentric weirdos on the show, and their dynamic is always entertaining, and it's the same recipe year after year. It's not like it's a progression in seasons, like, oh, what else is going to happen on Survivor? It's like the same thing's going to happen, just with different people.
Well, this season has been a little different because maybe they've had the right people this season. So just let me give you a quick rehash of what happened. They had three tribes. They brought back all people that had gotten injured and left the game. Now, do you think that was a good idea to bring back people who had been medically evacuated from the game?
Yes, I think so. But I think Penner actually got the best deal out of it because he's actually finished a season of Survivor without getting injured.
Yes.
And then he got to go on, and then he got injured a second time. That, and I also don't like Penner's voice. So
you don't like Penner's voice? Have you met Penner before?
I have met Penner before. I kind of recognized him. I knew he was somebody from the show, but I couldn't put my finger on it. It was at a 10-year anniversary party a few years ago. And it was just his blue eyes that I mostly recognized. I was like, you're somebody from some show. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
But I heard his voice, and then I recognized his voice too, but I still couldn't remember his name or anything like that. So probably now he's like, oh, I'm on the top of my game right now, and Tyson's going to pay for not knowing my name when we bumped into each other 2 years ago, and he's had the last laugh.
Tyson, come on, buddy. I'm doing the best that I can here. I'm sorry that you don't like my voice, but I'm trying over here to win this $1 million already.
See, exactly. That's perfect. So it's just the voice thing bothers me. And I think that the other two guys, this is only their second time back and the first time they got injured. And I think it's a fun premise.
Have you met Mike Scoopin or Russell Swan? Were you rooting for them?
Yes. I haven't met Russell Swan, and on Samoa, he was just okay for me. And Scoopin, I never watched Survivor that far back, but I have met him in person, and he was a great guy. He seems to really enjoy my antics on the show, so I feel like he was a fan of mine. Why shouldn't I be a fan of his?
Right.
You know, and I did actually ask to see the palms of his hands, and they looked like normal palms. They didn't look scarred up or anything.
Yeah, and you have a nickname for Mike Scoopin, too? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I always refer to him as Scoops when people ask me about him. I'm just like, oh, yeah, Scoops. That's like we go way back, but we really don't. I've met him one time crossing paths in a bar in L.A.
Whoa.
Well, it was for a Survivor function, to be fair, but that's where I talked to him.
Okay. Now this season, this is what else you missed. They also brought in a former Major League Baseball player, Jeff Kent. Did you know about this?
Yes, I had read that. I don't know who Jeff Kent is, though. I mean, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he somebody that a lot of baseball players or baseball enthusiasts know?
Yeah, I'd say he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I don't know if going on Survivor helps his Hall of Fame chances. Maybe it helps his chances to get into the Survivor Hall of Fame, but not the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
So what made him so awesome?
Oh, on the show?
Yeah.
Well, it was just exciting. I thought it was exciting to see him because if you're a really rich guy, after a while, on Survivor, the novelty is going to wear off. Like a Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
You have enough money. At some point, you're like, what? I am starving to death. It's been raining on me. I'm freezing. I'm, you know, starving to death. What do I need this aggravation for? So I can be on TV? What do I care? And he never got that way.
Okay, so he just kept going full speed.
He kept
ahead.
Going. But he got blindsided.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. And then I noticed the girl. Is that girl the girl from Growing Pains?
No, Facts of Life.
Facts of Life? Oh,
yeah.
Who else is on Facts of Life? That's not with Kirk Cameron, is it?
No, that was you're thinking Growing Pains. You're all
growing
in
pains,
on Growing
yeah.
Pains.
I love Growing Pains. I mean, with a dream bow, a dreamy hunk like that guy, you know, how can you really get it off your brain?
Well, Kirk Cameron would be great for Survivor because now he's really into all the religious stuff. So he would be an ideal Survivor contestant.
Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have so many awesome blasphemous jokes that I think him and I would really click.
So he would be really the ideal contestant for Survivor. He's an 80s sitcom actor, and he loves God so much, and he's really vocal about his opinions. So he just
and
seems like perfect
money.
Casting. Yeah. That
so
would be good.
Yeah. The quadruple threat.
Yeah, that would be perfect for Survivor. So now you watched the show this week. What was your take on this episode that you watched?
In general, Survivor is Survivor. So I guess if I had to say just one sentence, that's what it would be. But, I mean, it's the same. They villainize people, and then they make other people heroes, and then they make a few people vulnerable to the vote. And at the end of the episode, you're left guessing between a couple people, and then sometimes you get surprised and sometimes you don't. But I do feel like, and Jeff said to that tribal council, so many people miss the golden opportunity to go with the minority of the people to create the majority, but create a smaller majority than what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go to the finals and promise five other people so that there's six people strong going into the finals when you could go with a group of four and still be the majority? It's easier to maintain and maybe you jump ship later when there's four against one and you take two people with you to the other side and then it's three. And I don't know, it's easy to say from the outside, but unless you're there and know all the ins and outs and people are playing not only with their brains, but with emotion. So there's just, you know, I don't know, Rob,
yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. What'd you think of Penner when Scoopin and Lisa come to him and say, hey, do you want to be in our final three? And he says, no, thanks. I'm all good. Let's just vote out these next two people and get down to six.
I actually appreciated that because at first, when he said it, I was like, this guy's an idiot. You've got to say yes to anybody who approaches you with an idea. You just have to. Like, it's hard to just – because then you feel like you're always on thin ice or like you're going to have to patch something up with this guy. But he was like – no, let's just focus on this right now. I don't want to promise anything I'm not going to follow through on. And then in his confessional, he's like, you know, that may come back to bite me, but if it does, then good on them. I'm happy with the way I played, whatever. So, and I think you have to have that whatever attitude a little bit. Otherwise, you end up sounding super bitter at the end of it or becoming bitter. You know, you have to take it for what it is, which is a game. And if when you take it too serious, it ends up biting you in the ass and you end up being bitter the rest of your life over a show that was a super popular show about 8 years ago or 10 years ago when you were on it.
And now it's still
a mid-range show. It's no, I mean, it's not something that they're going to get rid of because it doesn't have that poor viewership. It's still a pretty high-ranking show for CBS.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
well, it depends why you're on the show.
Viewers. It's not like 40 million viewers. Like, when you were on it, that's how it was.
Yeah.
You know, you've parlayed your Survivor experience into this celebrity career. So
yes, this is very prestigious,
right?
Career.
But and I couldn't do that with me nowadays because you only have, you know, a quarter of that many people watching.
That's right. But for the people that are on the show, it's not like they've reduced the money where you're working on commission where, hey, if you bring in this many ratings, we're going to give you this much money. The money is all the same. So if you lose the show now, you should still be just as bitter as you were 10 years ago.
What's your point? Go over it one more time.
Well, why would you, if you're bitter, aren't you bitter that you didn't win the money or didn't win the game? Not necessarily how many people watched you lose. If anything, you should be, well, I guess not as many people saw you lose, so you should be happy.
About less people seeing you lose. Right.
Yeah.
That is right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that Survivor isn't and shouldn't be as serious to people as it was so long ago. But losing the money, there's inflation too, dude.
Yeah.
$1 million, really? If I win $1 million, I'm going to try and spend it in 3 months because it's not going to – what am I going to do, leave it in my bank account for when I'm super old and then it's only worth a fraction of even that? $1 million isn't life-changing, Rob. It's life-changing for a couple years.
Yeah.
you can take the $1 million, and if you're smart with it, then it can become life changing. But it's not going to come without hard work and smarts.
Yeah, well, that was also something that came up this season, where after Jeff Kent lost, he said in his parting words after the show, he said, "You know what really pisses me off is that, you know, I may probably made $60 million playing baseball, but now that I could have won this $1 million, I really wanted it. But then Obama, when he gets through with it, it's only going to be like $600,000." And people, a lot of people were offended by this. Jeff Kent said he came after Obama that it was only going to be $600,000. But I think it's an interesting point, not so much about the taxes, but $1 million, I think, in 2000 was probably worth more than $1 million in 2012.
You would think so. Yeah.
Your purchasing power.
It definitely is. Yeah. And that's why I said, if I were to go back on Survivor and if I were to win $1 million, my goal would be to spend that $600,000 after taxes in 3 months.
Now, why 3 months?
What?
Why 3 months? Why not 4 months or 2 months?
Well, I mean, whatever. It's going to be under a year, Rob. 2 months. I think 3 months is pretty good because that's $200,000 a month. And then you take your entourage and you go do ridiculous stuff like go hire a helicopter that would do heli skiing tours, but go sledding instead. Like go for like extreme sledding tour in the mountains. That would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how would you know, though, that your entourage wasn't just hanging out with you for the money, though?
Well, you wouldn't care. Plus, you'd choose people from before that were your friends previous.
Like that show, Entourage?
Well, I try to. I try not to liken any aspect of my life to that show because I would be embarrassed to be a person like that.
But now I've seen pictures of you on your Twitter and in your videos, which you could check out Tyson's videos at. Let me make sure I got this right. YouTube.com/Tyson Public Access. Is that the right channel?
I think so.
Yeah. But you do have an entourage already, and you didn't even win $1 million.
Well, yeah, but it's just my personality. They're there for my personality, not for my cash.
Yeah.
So you don't need cash to have an entourage, but and so I'd take the people that I've already won over with my personality and they'd go, you know, maybe I'd bring some people that follow me on the World Wide Web or something, but I would make a party out of it for like 3 months straight and then at the end have nothing to show for it. Like that movie Brewster's Millions. Like you can't buy, you can't buy anything that's going to have value in the end. Like, I can't buy cars or properties or anything. I've got to spend it all on experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I could rent like Lamborghinis and go jump them and stuff like that, but I couldn't purchase a Lamborghini.
Right. Right.
Those would be the rules I'd set for myself. What would you do? Let's say I won $1 million.
Yeah.
And I was like, Rob, we're going to go do something. What do you want to do?
Oh, man. See, you're much more adventurous and fun than I am. I would say, what podcast could we make? What videos could we make?
Right, but that's the thing. I'd hire a film crew to follow me around the whole time.
Then okay, that would be fun.
Right. So, what would you do? What would your adventure be?
What, my adventure with you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you like to do things like go biking and go hiking and go sledding from a helicopter and all of these things.
Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily something that I would be fun to do. It would be funny in the video if I was doing those things with you and I would just be like screaming the whole time. I guess that would be a funny video.
You would hate them?
I probably would hate it. Maybe I would like it once it was happening, but probably not.
Well, plus we're going to be flying first class everywhere and staying in the nicest hotels, bro.
Okay.
So it's not going to be all lose for you. I'm going to wine and dine you.
Okay. Yeah, I'd make the best of it.
And then Nicole can come along and stuff like that. And
yeah, she would like that more.
So
than
you
me.
Think? Yeah, you think of what you want to do, and if it ever comes to that, we'll figure something out.
Now, what do you think if, let's say this hypothetical Survivor season, you go back on Survivor, you're in the final two, and somebody asks you, Tyson, if you win this money, what are you going to do? And you outline this whole speech and say at the end of it, and you know what, jury, if you vote for me, you're coming with me. We're going on a trip. I'm taking all you guys. We're going to have the best time. Now, do you think that this would be an effective jury speech and people would vote for you?
I think that honesty in general in the jury speech is probably the best policy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say honesty is the best policy in life necessarily, but in a jury speech on Survivor, I really think it is. I think if people are like, what would you do with the money, Tyson? I think people are familiar enough with my personality to know if I was bullshitting them. If I was like, well, I think I'm going to invest some, I'm going to save some of it, and I'll probably...
Start a charity.
Buy a car for my grandma and donate half to charity and stuff. And that's the bullshit answer that everybody says. But I think if you were like, well, the second I get my check, I'm going to pay taxes and then I'm going to spend the rest of it in 3 months' time.
Right.
And you guys can maybe be part of it. I don't know if I would promise them an opportunity to be part of it, but that might be the little white lie that actually ensures that you get it. But I think that you would win. I think a lot of people would win with that because it would be so refreshing for the jury to hear.
Yeah.
It'd be like, that guy is not bullshitting us.
It's almost like you could be kind of like Willy Wonka, I think, in front of the jury and say like, hey, a vote for me, that's your golden ticket. You're coming to this party. It's going to be the party of the year that you're going to want to be there. If you don't vote for me, I will tell security not to let you in. You are persona non grata at my ultimate party. I don't know. I mean, you're not colluding. You're not basically sharing the money. You're saying, hey, I'm throwing a party and you're invited if you vote for me.
Right. No, I think that would definitely, I think that would be a selling point. Is that what we should plan on?
We're going to have shrimp that are like the size of bananas. It's going to
All your favorite foods from Costco will be there. Actually, they don't care as much because they've already got to eat a bunch of stuff once they got on the jury.
Yeah.
If they were all starving, it would make more sense. But
Gift bags.
They'll be excited.
Swag.
Gift bags. With,
yeah.
Yeah, designer watches, stuff like that.
Yeah, you couldn't go too crazy because then you would waste all the money on one party.
Yeah, we couldn't do that. Plus, you could always lie to them and just be like, you're coming, and then only invite the ones you like anyways.
Yeah, and if you don't vote for me, we're all making fun of you that night. We're gonna roast you and make jokes about you the whole time when you're not there.
Right, exactly. So the whole thing, and then we're going to post all the videos on YouTube.
I don't know.
There's no way they couldn't vote for me.
This is a good... I think at this point, Jeff's head would explode, but it would be... I think it would be effective with the jury.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, I mean, it's only a matter of time, dude. We're doing this, Rob.
Especially if there was somebody they really hated on the jury. Like, if there was somebody that was just, like, a real jerk that voted them all out, and you were, you know, the guy that, you know, you maybe you won the last two immunities or whatever, this would really be an effective speech.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm surprised it hasn't been done already.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot
of
people that...
If you go back on the show, Rob, if you go back on the show, Rob, you have my permission to use that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the things from this week's episode was this girl, Abby Maria, who there was a little bit of a discussion of, is this a cultural thing? Does she just not understand the language and people are misunderstanding her? Or is she just kind of a bitch?
Yeah, that's bullshit that she doesn't understand. That was her excuse when she realized that everybody thought she was an ass. But I think she speaks English well enough that she's been here long enough. And she's probably watched American TV her entire life. Mm-hmm. So for her to not know would make her a moron.
So you're not buying
it? I think it's... No, not at all. I think her in her mind, her one saving grace is that she can blame it on being from a different country. But like that scrawny older lady said... Denise. She's been around enough... foreigners, and I have too, and not all foreigners are assholes just because they don't understand the subtleties of, you know, the American social rights and wrongs.
Yeah.
So I know that there are other countries in general are blunter and more upfront than sometimes Americans are, because, you know, you don't go around here calling people fat who are fat for the most part, to their face, because that's probably a sensitive topic for them. But in a lot of other countries, people will call you fat. In the Philippines, for example, where I lived for a couple years, in the Philippines, they all like powder their skin and try and bleach their skin so they can be as light as possible, because that's what they feel is attractive. And if there's someone that's extra dark skinned, that's a huge insult to point that out to them. But people still do. People go home crying because somebody called them dark.
Yeah.
Whereas here, but what if they called them fat? Calls you dark. If they called you fat, they call you fat too. I've heard Filipinos call other Filipinos fat.
And did they cry?
Yeah. They don't. That's not a sensitive subject for them, but they'll refer to them as the fat person. I'll just be like, oh, the fat guy? Yeah, him.
Yeah. And here, if somebody told you were pale, you would cry.
Right. You have to be dark. You have to be nice and tan and healthy looking.
Yeah. So, it's a crazy world.
A crazy, crazy world, Rob. And I'm not ever going to try to understand all of it in my lifetime. And I don't think you should either.
Well, Tyson, one of the other things you missed this season... I know you are one of Survivor's most beloved Utah residents, but this season we had, for the first time, a reigning Miss Utah was on this season of Survivor. Was this big news in Utah?
Not really. I don't think Survivor is ever really that big of news in Utah. It was big when I was on there because I was, like, following it. But... Mm. I mean, I heard about it just from other people. People who knew I was on the show, who watched the show, were like, hey, there's some Utah girl on there.
And, yeah, Miss Utah.
Yeah, and one of my friends was like, oh, she's super hot and all this stuff. He likes really hot girls, apparently.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say, I think her chin was too strong for me. I think, you know, if I'm going to point out a flaw, I would say that her Jay Leno-y chin was just a little too much. It was too strong.
You know, I have to go back and look. I don't recall her having such a strong chin. Maybe I was distracted.
I've only seen the promo pictures. Maybe even the picture that you put on for the podcast or something. But I feel like she had a little bit too much chin underneath her mouth.
Interesting. She also maybe did not represent Utah particularly well, that she was most well known for at Tribal Council. Jeff asked her, Angie, what is the one thing that this tribe needs most right now? And her answer was cookies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's pretty good, though. Cookies would be good for the tribe. I don't know if it's the one thing they need most. How early in was this?
She got kicked off the third episode, so she did not make it very far. Yeah.
So 9 days.
9 days. And she also was snuggling a bunch. And it may not have even been 9 days because they have so many people on the season. They don't do it every 3 days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cookies. I wondered, because I had heard that saying, you know, a little bit, the cookies thing, but I didn't know where it came from. So
came
was
from
that,
Angie.
Did she ponder and take pause before she answered? Or did
she
know
she
right away
just,
that that's what it needed to be?
She went right for it, I think.
Good. You got to respect a girl for that, you know?
Yeah. So, she was young. She was only 20.
Yeah. So you can't blame them for their stupidity. But she also, you know, she's a beauty queen. So she's probably strict on her, how do you say, starving herself, you know, before competitions and stuff. And so probably her being out there, she was like, now is my chance to eat cookies. I really wish I had cookies out here, because I'm starving so bad that the calories probably wouldn't show up on my hips or thighs or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you run into her somewhere along the way.
I don't think so. I think she's in LA. I think that's where they recruited her from.
Oh, really? Okay.
She loses
her Utah street cred.
She moved to the big city to make something of herself, Rob.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye out for her.
Yeah, keep an eye out. She's probably not hitting the bars yet unless she has a fake ID, or she's probably 21 by now.
We'll see. We'll see. I have a feeling she's probably hitting the bars already.
Yeah, I think so, too. And you've got to. I mean, you've got a network out there, Rob. You know how it is.
A network. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my problem. I never network with anybody.
Yeah, you need to. I mean, I think once you master networking, the sky's the limit for you.
Yeah, I think so. And then I would have to leave my apartment, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Or you could pay somebody to carry a phone around and FaceTime with everyone.
Yeah. I guess so. But I kind of feel like, for me, the people that I need to be talking to aren't necessarily at bars.
Who do you need to be talking to?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I'm not trying to be an actor or anything like that, so I don't know if I need to talk to, like, casting people or, like, other actors. So,
right.
I mean, I don't really necessarily know who I should be talking to is at a bar.
Right. You need to, well, everybody goes to bars at some point in their life.
I guess so.
So they'd all be there, probably not at the same time on one try. That's why it's all about being out there every night, Rob.
Yeah. Well,
so
I don't know. That doesn't sound like the kind of life I want to go after. Not like Angie. In this made-up life we made up for her.
Yeah, she's just, you know, exactly, the made-up life we just barely made up for her. I just assume she's in LA. I think I heard something that she was out there or saw something recently. So, I'm assuming that's the case. But why wouldn't she, you know? She's a young starlet with nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? That's right. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you about from this episode is we had some, you know, shenanigans here with the old hidden immunity idol. It was the old 8-person, 6-6-2, split the vote. Hey, what if we get one person to come over here and vote with us? And so I wanted to get your take on that. You have a unique insight into that, of course, with the heroes versus villains. Did you think that Mike Scoopin made the right call to not go ahead and join up with Pete and Abby Maria?
I think he definitely did, because nobody else went with him. But I think if he would have pulled one more person with him, you couldn't pass that up, because you would have already thinned out. Instead of being six going into the finals, you would have only had four.
Yeah.
So I think that if you could have convinced someone that he really, really trusted, I always thought that if you played the game of Survivor and had two or three people strong and played a group swing vote every round and just whittled it down by jumping back and forth, that would be a good way to go.
Yeah. So I mean, isn't that what JT and Steven did?
Yeah, not really, because they never really turned on their people. They just convinced Coach that I was out to get everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they did to a sense, but I think that you could do it. I think it could be done better and more deliberate even. But
yeah.
But he would have needed one more person that he could really trust to jump ship. Otherwise, it's best to stay with the majority for sure. Because even with three people, they would have been in the minority the next time.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. He needed to bring over Lisa. That's his one person that's right. His real
exactly.
ally. And
exactly.
If I don't think she wanted to go with Abby, Maria, and Pete.
I don't think so either. I actually admire her for sticking to her guns as hard as it was to do. I think she shares too much, though. She tries to be too much of a... Like, all of her answers are like mom answers. Like, I appreciate and understand what you're saying, but, you know, I just have to do what's right for me at this moment in time. And it's not that I hate you guys. It's just that, you know, and I'm just like, you don't even need to say anything to them other than, yeah, I'll probably vote with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she should say. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, I'll probably do that.
All right, well, let's get into some of these questions that we have for you from our listeners on our Facebook fan page.
Wait,
some of them are going to be about, what's that?
I wanted, you never said how you felt about Abby Maria. Is that Abby? Abby? Yeah, I mean,
Abby Maria, but
I've only gotten one episode of her.
Yeah, well, I think that there's not really a cultural divide. Like, maybe there is, she's feeling like there is some sort of a miscommunication, but at the point where she's saying things like, that's it, you know what? I'm done cooking. You guys want to vote me out? You guys cook for yourself. I'm not done eating. Like, she knows she's being nasty. There's no miscommunication there. So
right, exactly.
I think that, it's a social game. She does not, she's nice to the people she likes, but
right.
She's just way too blunt to really be effective in this game.
Yeah, she doesn't have the social graces to win everyone over.
Yeah. But let me ask you one last thing about her. Now, they said at the tribal council, Denise was like, hey, if I'm at a poker game, I'm not going to bring somebody to the game who doesn't know how to play. I want to keep the best people around this game. I'm not going to bring a bad player to the final two or final three of this season, unlike other seasons. What is your take on that? Is that the right way to go?
Well, what's going to happen is somebody else will.
Yeah.
The second you hear somebody say that is like, okay, this is my chance to take this moron to the finals. Like her, it's every season there's somebody who's like, you know what, this person doesn't deserve to be here. Every time I've played the game, I've thought that about everybody. So it's just like, how do you pick and choose? And why wouldn't you choose somebody that you could 100% dominate in the final tribal council? And for her, you know, it's an act too, because people there do like to hear that, especially when they feel that you respect them as a player and that you feel like they deserve to be there. I guess maybe she's being deeper than we assume she is, but I don't think so. I think that's the wrong move. You have to look at your options and figure out how you're going to get to the end with the least amount of trickery, and then who's going to be there at the end with you. There's so many facets of the game that I don't know. I think that we have not seen the last of Abby Maria. I think, I think she's going to go a lot farther. I don't think she's done next week.
No, I don't think so either. I think it would be too boring.
Yeah, I think it would be too boring. And I think that, I mean, they obviously want us to think she's going soon, but somebody is going to jump ship. Somebody's going to figure it out and go with her. And then the whole game will be turned on its head yet again, making the next episode one of the best Survivor episodes ever in the history of Survivor until the week after.
So will you be watching it?
No. Probably not. Maybe. If I'm in front of a TV and it's on CBS and that show comes on, then
you
I
won't
will
leave the
probably
room.
Watch it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I'm usually not even home at that time. And I don't care. I don't have TiVo because I just watch internet television now, Hulu and Netflix. So for me, it's not even worth like hunting down the episodes to watch them. But if they were at my disposal there, I probably would.
Oh, let me ask you one more thing about Denise. So she said that thing, hey, I got to take the best players to the end. And a lot of people have been writing on the comment boards on robhasawebsite.com. Wow, Denise, she's looking so good in front of the jury saying something like that. But do you think that's something that looks good in front of the jury? Or does the exact – what's that?
I think it's insulting because then she's referring that that the people out are not
exactly.
And, you know,
you say, Jeff, I have been since I've got here. I have done my best to make sure everybody who is a good player in this game is out of here, and I have been systematically eliminating people by the order of how good they are at playing this game.
And so the jury is like, they deserve to be here based on my own criteria.
Yeah.
Right. No, I think that I think so too. I think I would be insulted if I run that jury. I would be like, bullshit. I'm much better than you, scrawny old lady. But she's got a weird outie belly button too going on.
Oh, I see. I didn't really look that close.
You need to look closer, Rob. See, I notice all these things with just one episode.
Yeah, and do you know that she's a sex therapist, Denise?
Oh, good. Yeah, I would like to talk to her about a bunch of stuff. A sex therapist. I know. I saw that Abby had accused her of being a psychiatrist or something, and she's like, "No, I'm actually a therapist." So, are you going to try when? You talk to her because I'm assuming you will talk to talk to every survivor at some point, right?
Unless they don't want to talk to me. Yeah, I try to talk to everybody.
Are there people that don't want to talk to you?
Well, famously, Russell Hance boycotted talking to us after he got voted off on Redemption Island. But he came around eventually.
And so he did come around and then talk to you. So just him.
Yeah, it's just him. He's been the only one who has said no, he didn't want to talk to us.
Huh. So you have talked to everybody. Yeah. So when you talk to her, are you going to ask her a bunch of sex advice?
I mean, I probably won't in her initial 15-minute interview with me, but I would like to keep her number on file to ask her a bunch of questions, both off the air and then if there's ever a sex-related issue that comes up on the podcast. Yeah.
Right. In the bedroom at that exact moment.
She's probably a good person to have on speed dial.
Yeah, I would put her probably number one or number two after Poison Control.
Yeah. Although in this day and age, isn't everybody's phone number on speed dial?
Yeah, pretty much. I think you can set it even faster, but it's pretty speedy anyways. Because you can put little icons on your smartphone that's just one push.
Like if I have Siri, do I need speed dial?
It depends on how much like a robot you can talk so it can understand you.
Yeah, or if you're in a tunnel, it doesn't work.
Yeah, all right. There's a lot of places that won't work.
Let's get into some of these questions from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast on our Facebook fan page. All right, let's start off here. And Eric Asperolini, he wants to know, who has the better girlish figure, Tyson or Carter? Now, did you notice Carter's figure when you were watching the show?
Yeah, he's like the Slim Shady haired kid, right? With the
yes,
yeah. I think he's daintier than me. I think I'm probably a little bulkier than him in the chest and shoulders and stuff. So I would say, girlish wise, it would have to be him. I mean, I think I have. I don't know. What do you think? I think he's daintier than me, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just my perception of myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we might have to have a. We have a bikini contest?
An arm wrestle?
An arm wrestle? I don't know if that would really show off girlish figure.
Right. We would probably have to have a bikini contest, huh?
like a runway walk off, like in Zoolander.
I think I would win that. I think I have a better walk than him.
Yeah, I think you have you would own the runway more than he would.
Yeah,
so I'll give it
to
you.
He seems a little timid. He seems a little timid to show that off, which he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be ashamed of his body.
Yeah. All right. On a similar note, Kevin Donnelly wants to know, who is the sexiest man besides Tyson and sexiest women on Survivor ever? Now, do you have a list of sexiest man and sexiest woman ever on Survivor?
I always hate these questions. There's been like 400 people on the show now, you know, and there's always handsome dudes. Every season there's a totally ripped handsome dude on the show, and every season there's some hot babes. So it's for me, it's, I don't know. I don't care about it that much to really have a name, but believe me, I can tell an attractive person. But yeah, I mean,
okay, how about this? Let me ask you a different question.
Okay.
Who is the person that everybody says is hot but isn't?
Oh, there's so many of those. There's so many of those. Those are off the top of my mind, Parvati is the number one.
Oh, but you have a long history of you don't have anything nice to say about Parvati.
No. Okay, Rob, hear me out. I like Parvati as a person. She's always been kind to me. And I think she's got a great personality. I feel like when I talk to her, great. But when people are creaming their pants over, you know, oh my gosh, she's so hot. I just have never seen that. She's cute enough. Sure. Cute enough. I'll leave it at that. But I would never blow my wad over it. But the message was always like, oh, she's like top two, top three. I think in Miss Survivor, she was way up high, right?
She is our reigning Miss Survivor. And now, is this sour grapes that you did not win Miss Survivor?
No. I think she just has too gummy of a smile.
Oh, come on. How dare you?
Rob, now you're making me look like the bad guy here, buddy. But no, I will say it one more time. Nice person, Parvati.
Yes.
Funny personality. Nice. She's fun. Fun loving.
Very fun.
Right. Even on Heroes and Villains, I wanted her gone more for the sake of she knew everybody on the other side. I knew she had so many friends in the game that she was too dangerous.
Who else you got on your list?
I don't know. There's just so many of those girls. Like, I think some of them are like Amanda. She's fine too, but she's a little homely, and I don't think
she's overrated.
Overrated. Yeah, these are just people that are overrated for what they truly
that's fair.
Are.
That's fair.
So I'm not hating on Parvati, because when she listens to this, or if she listens to this, I don't hate Parvati. I like Parvati a lot.
Yeah.
But as far as being the hottest female survivor of all time, she is not.
Okay. Well, look, everybody's entitled to an opinion.
Right. But I, at the same time, and maybe in her favor, I couldn't name somebody who I really feel is the hottest survivor of all time. I'd really have to do an in-depth evaluation of each female that's been on the show in person.
Yeah. What about the guys?
Guys-wise?
Who's the overrated, good-looking, hot guy?
Oh, you know, it's hard because for me, I prefer the skinny. Pretty much my build is what I feel is optimal, but that's what has been optimal for me in accomplishing what I want to in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a cyclist background, long and lean is what's attractive.
Yeah.
So any of these muscly guys with like the barbed wire or tribal tattoos, you know, that are into MMA fighting, I think all of those guys are overrated. But at the same time, they draw, you know, they have an attraction, and not always the bulk of the population, but they do attract the girls with the giant fake boobs and the bleach blonde hair. And so there's someone for everybody. There's somebody for everybody out there. So just because I don't care much for the the meatheads who feel like the more muscles you have. Because at some point, when you're working on your muscles as a dude, it's more about being homosexual with yourself than anything else.
So you're saying at some point where enough is enough.
Enough is enough, and only you are impressed with what you're doing.
Okay. I could see that, though.
Yeah, so I think in every season there's a muscly dude on the show that's totally ripped, but those muscles aren't, they're not functional.
They're not good for Survivor. Long and lean is the better Survivor profile.
Well, I think just for life in general, I think for health and longevity and for versatility in activities. I mean, being a muscle bound meathead is good for bench pressing.
Yeah.
But it's not good for going out and playing, you know, a game of pickup basketball or skiing or hiking or anything. It's not like, hey, let's go play Frisbee on the beach. Okay, I'm going to carry 200 extra pounds of muscle that I worked on so I could look at myself in the mirror with my shirt off, which I'm guilty of as well. But mine is not all about size.
Right. And the maintenance on the 200 pounds of muscle is a bit much also. You got to eat 8 or 9 times a day.
You got to get your proper amount of proteins, and mostly protein. You know, you're going to want to ingest a ton of protein.
Right. No good. Do you think, on a similar note, should they drug test on Survivor for steroids?
No, but
I don't think this is a big problem. I don't think there's a lot of people going on Survivor on steroids, but I do think people have taken steroids before going on Survivor.
I think people have. I would imagine that it would help you in some of the challenges, if not probably all of them. But at a certain point, those drugs wear off when you're not able to get them. I mean, short story here. On Heroes Villains, I had the idea to get a prescription medication for allergies, even though I don't have allergies. And then I was going to fill the bottle with sleeping pills so I could sleep well at night. Because that's the worst part of Survivor, is the sleep situation.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll do that. I told Coach that, and he ended up doing it. I was like, if we go on Survivor again, this is what I'm going to do. He ended up doing it. I ended up not doing it because I told Coach that he's going to do it. And then he did, and I used some of those pills. But, I mean, if you did something like that with steroids or something, I guess, it could be beneficial.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not eating. You know, you're just 100% fueled by steroids.
I don't think it would work out well. I could see people doing it. I don't think it would work out well. Now, that's interesting to have sleeping pills on Survivor. I mean, could you potentially, before, like, a critical immunity challenge, could Coach hypothetically drop a sleeping pill in somebody's water before the final immunity? And then, I mean, is this what happened to Rick on Survivor South Pacific? Was Coach drugging him up the whole time?
And that's why
he didn't talk?
Super groggy.
Oh, man, I don't know what happened since I got here. Must have that sleeping sickness.
Yeah, he got it. He got the sleeping sickness. No, I mean, I guess you could. I never even thought of that. I was always just using it. I was always like, if I could get 8 hours of sleep out here, how awesome would I feel the next day? But
interesting.
I never felt too terrible out there, though. It was just more of nighttime. You just sat around and hoped to God that the sun would come out as quickly as possible the next day.
You know what? One thing about me, though, I feel like I always slept pretty well on Survivor. For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, I would sleep like a couple hours here and there, but never a real solid, long sleep.
Yeah.
And there were times when I woke up, I was like, is it day yet? You know, because it's cold and I just want to get up and walk around.
A long
because
night.
I can't
yeah.
sleep. Yeah. So I think that sleeping pills would have, you know, they would have probably helped a little bit, but I didn't end up taking them. I stole one from Coach one time, and by stole, I mean borrowed. He gave it to me.
And that was nice.
Then when I took it, I thought, you know what? What if I end up snoring all night and pissing everybody off, and then they vote me out for snoring? Because you can get voted out for snoring. It's happened before.
I know. I know. So I would sleep on my stomach because I know that's you're supposed to not be able to snore on your stomach.
Yeah. You don't want to fall asleep on your back.
Yeah. That's no good. yeah. Let me, you know, a funny story about sleeping, and I've got a couple different ones I could go with, but what happened to me in the Amazon with speaking of sleeping on my stomach was we had a fire in my season. I don't think you saw the show all the way back, but we had a fire in my season, and basically everything burnt down. We lost our backpacks and everything, so we basically just had the clothes that we were wearing at the time of the fire, and so...
season is now, Rob. You guys were spoiled with the backpacks.
Yeah, I know. That's how it is every season. But I was, you know, I had to, towards the end of the game, I had to sleep on my stomach the whole time because I was afraid that if I were to sleep on my back and I had shorts, which were not the longest shorts in the world, I was worried that I could, that,
morning
I could,
wood.
Yeah. I was worried.
Is that what it is?
Some wood in the camp that Butch did not acquire and gather for us. I didn't want to wake up with a camera guy standing over me. So that was all the more reason I had to sleep on my stomach.
With your giant boner pinching a tent.
Yeah, so that was a concern on Survivor.
I thought about that too, but then when you're out there, I never slept that well, Rob, that would have happened to me because I was always just like, how am I going to spend this $1 million? What am I going to buy with this $1 million? How awesome is it going to be when I show up at home with $1 million? And I'm like, I haven't hardly worked at all for this. Because all the money that I ever got from Survivor, I always just assumed I didn't even work for it. It was just free money to me.
Yeah.
Because the experience in itself is vacation enough. You know, it's like,
yes.
Okay. They send me on vacation and then they pay me for it. That's awesome. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So all that stuff was going through my head. So I was so focused on that I never once felt sexy, Rob, out there. I mean, I knew I was sexy, but I never got that sexual feeling.
Yeah. Well,
how about you, Rob? Let's talk about you on this. Were there moments where you were like, oh, man, I wish I had a bunch of pornography right now?
Well, I I never wished for pornography in my time. But in both of my Survivor seasons, I've never before admitted this in any sort of public forum. This is an exclusive 10 years later. In both of my Survivor seasons, my sleep was interrupted, both times. I believe it was on day four, both times. And I was, I believe the clinical term is nocturnal emission.
Whoa. Really, dude?
Yes.
Awesome.
Both times I was on Survivor, and it's not something that regularly. I don't know what it is about Survivor.
That is crazy. Yeah, that's a great story. I'm glad that you shared that with me because I was actually just going to be like, let's say you were on the show this time. Do you think there would really come a point in you being out there on the island where you were like, I wish Nicole was here so I could break one off?
Oh well, there's.
But when I'm out there, I don't even think about any of that because I'm just focused on making sure the experience is horrible for everyone that I'm with.
Yeah, like, see, it's not something that you plan for,
right?
And your
mind was probably just wandering as you were falling asleep and taking you to better places.
Yeah, better places. And it's an inopportune place, Survivor, for these things to happen because, frankly, there's not, you know, you don't have a lot of extra changes of clothes and, you know, there are better places for that to happen.
But there were no black lights. So you also,
yes,
you know, you weren't caught red handed, so to speak.
Yeah.
Rob, since you shared such a personal story with me, I feel like I have to share, one of my most memorable nocturnal emissions.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Okay. I was a Mormon missionary. I don't know if you knew that. I'm sure you did. Mm-hmm. On my way to my mission to the Philippines, in a suit and tie, a missionary suit and tie, sitting next to other missionaries on the airplane, one of which was a female missionary, I fell asleep on the plane, woke up everywhere, dude.
Luckily, oh, no.
Yeah, luckily my suit wasn't one that would show like water spot stains on it. So, I mean, I was good enough to go, but I don't know what I was doing. Was I humping the air in my sleep next to all these missionaries or something?
Know.
Yeah, I have no clue. And nobody ever said anything because it would have been too embarrassing to even bring up, especially for them. So I was not on an aisle row. So once I woke up, I was like, crap, I got to clean up. So I'm straddling over this sister missionary trying to get to the restroom. And I think she faked asleep because she saw what was going on or whatever. I feel like she faked asleep. And then when I came back, she was like, because she was asleep when I stepped over. When I came back, she was like, you don't need to step over me. You could have just woke me up. I would have moved for you. And I was like, okay. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think I got my pants pregnant.
Wow. I mean, this is a real thing. And you know, it's basically like the closest thing in real life to Freddy Krueger, where, you know, this, you go to sleep and then this thing happens to you and then there's real life repercussions.
Yeah. Real life repercussions that you have to deal with.
Yeah. It's like, don't fall asleep in any sort of public setting. 'Cause you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like the most horrible thing. It's really now, even when I'm by myself in my own bed, I'm afraid to fall asleep because of this experience that I've had.
Yeah.
So what did you do? So what did you do when you were out there? Did you immediately go and try and clean up, or were you just like, yeah, I'll just deal with it in the morning?
I think both times. Again, and this happened twice.
Yeah,
twice. Okay, it was
I'm excited. Maybe to put in the you back on the show really? One more time.
Again,
they need to put you on one more time, and then just film you heavily on the fourth night.
I think both times. But I mean, it is not standard operating procedure for somebody to get up and go change in the middle of the night. So I think you want to try to be discreet about it.
That's true. So were you discreet?
I honestly, I don't really remember the full procedure.
We could delve in even more, like who were you sleeping by, because all that stuff probably had an effect on the outcome.
I don't know. Well, in the first time I was there, well, it happened both times, so that's really because my first season was men versus women. But you know,
you
we were talking so much.
Survivor.
Yeah, I was just so happy to be on Survivor. We were talking about the women so much. I wondered that was probably had something to do with it.
And then
the second time, really, no
men, those men.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second time, who knows? God knows. God knows what happened.
Only God. It'll be one of the mysteries that he answers to us in the afterlife.
All right. Lee Dunn wants to know, have you seen the new James Bond film, Tyson? I'm just wondering, because I think Tyson would be a good Bond villain. So wondered if you, what you'd thought of it. Are you a James Bond fan?
I do. Watch all the James Bond films, yes. I've been trying to catch up on the old ones, but I have seen that new one. And I would have to take that as a compliment because Javier Bardem, who plays the villain in this one, fantastic.
Very good.
Have you seen it?
I saw it. Can we go into spoiler mode? We're not really going to give anything away about the whole movie. I felt like this movie, though.
Well,
yeah, that's... all I was going to say was that with the villain here, did you feel like he was doing a little bit of a poor man's Heath Ledger Joker?
You know, I liked him more almost than the Heath Ledger Joker character, and I'll probably, you know, I may have to pay the price for saying that through all the message boards, you know, and I really don't want that. But I think that I think he was witty and funny, and he came off as, I think a lot of people were rooting for him in the film.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain degree, you took his side and you wanted him to succeed.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a good Bond movie. Good job by Daniel Craig. Adam Eppler wants...
My beef with Daniel Craig is his face is so beat. I mean, he's ripped, but anybody can be ripped when they're on the Hollywood HGH diet. So his face doesn't constitute the caliber of women, and it just makes the whole movie unbelievable.
I had said
everything
to Nicole
else in
walking...
a James Bond movie, I can agree with, but that is where I'd draw the line.
Now, I said after we saw the movie, I said that I think that Daniel Craig might be the Butterface Bond. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I 100% agree, even from the very first time, because there's girls who are like, oh, I can't wait to see that movie. He's so hot. And I was like, you're not looking at his face. Obviously, you're looking at his six-pack or his pectoral muscles or maybe even his glutes, perfectly formed glutes. But anybody could have that body with the Hollywood HGH diet. I said that already, just barely. You know,
interesting.
That's how I think that's how Christian Bale goes from being like 120 pounds to 220 pounds in a year. You know, it's not all natural. He's not just only ingesting protein nonstop.
Okay, that's good. Now, would HGH help you prepare for Survivor?
I think it would help more while you were out there, because HGH is what your body produces naturally. It's like when you have your growth spurt, your body's producing its maximum amounts of HGH. So it's those hormones when you're a teenager hitting your growth spurt that help you recover, help you grow. And so I think that out there on Survivor, that would probably help your body cope a little bit with maybe the starvation and any injuries you had and stuff like that. But leading up to it, it's just going to make you, well, cyclists use it and they're pretty lean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends on how you use it.
You do seem to know a lot about this, I have to say.
Well, as a cyclist, you have to know. You have to know all that about it. Like, you read it every day and you're not surrounded by it every day. But when you hear people talking about it, you need to familiarize yourself with it.
Okay.
So HGH is human growth hormone. You knew that.
Yeah. We knew that.
Yeah, and they make a synthetic HGH as well as as well as what your body produces naturally. And the problem is that when you take too much HGH, it puts you in almost into a second growth spurt. So your bones will grow. That's why guys will get real heavy, thick brow and a more defined chin and jawline when they're taking it, because they're taking too much.
And so we'd know if somebody took it on Survivor.
Maybe not in that short amount of time. I would probably take more time than that. But I think when you take it in proper doses under a doctor who knows what he's doing, supervision, I think it can actually be a beneficial thing, especially the older you get.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is if you give somebody any drug that is supposed to make them better in any aspect, and you say, okay, take one teeny tiny dose every 3 days, in their mind they think, okay, well, I'll just take 100 doses a day, and instead of my goal of being at this point in 2 years, I'll just be there in a month because I just overdosed all the time.
No, I believe you, and I believe that there's a – you know, 10 years from now, it's going to be like baseball, where we're going to find out that every one of these, like, celebrities over 40 was on this. Like Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, like, a ton of musicians that are out
legal.
There.
It's legal. Yeah. For a regular person, if you go under a doctor, you can get a prescription for it, and then it's legal. Like, a lot of obese people now are paying, you know, I don't know, $700, $1,500 a month or something for these HGH injections, and they call it HGH therapy. And it's supposed to, you know, it's like when you were a teenager, you know, you could eat whatever you wanted because your body was working so efficiently at burning everything. And so these obese people that are on these diet regimens, sometimes they'll go on a HGH therapy. So I think under the doctor's supervision and for non-sporting purposes, it's legal with a prescription.
Yeah. So I think it's all going to be a whole scene, you know, maybe 5 years from now, very, very soon. But yeah. let's keep moving. Adam Epler wants to know, how were you approached to do the Gautier parody viral hit, The Star Wars That I Used to Know? Are you a big Star Wars fan of people in this video you made over the summer?
No, I'm not. I like Star Wars just fine, but all the stuff that was in the lyrics, I had no clue what it was referencing for the most part.
Okay, so why you? How did you get cast for that?
So I have a friend. My friend works with Teddy Films, which they were the producer of the show or of the parody. And they just were like, hey, we've always wanted to do something with you. We have this thing. It'll probably take just one day if you want to come in and do it. And I was like, sure, no problem. They're like, okay, here's the song, and this is what you're going to be doing. Do you have a problem being naked? I was like, of course not.
Right.
So I just went in and did it. And, you know, those guys have actually, they've done some of the Doritos Super Bowl commercials.
Oh, cool.
So they've done those, and they do a lot of Star Wars parody. So when we were making it, my friend Eddie, he was Eddie and Tyler are the two guys that run the Teddy Films. And Eddie is my friend. And he was like, I think this will have over 2 million views in the first week. And in my mind, I was like, how can you predict what's going to be a viral video and what's not? And so I queried of him. And he said, Star Wars plus the hottest music video on YouTube plus doing Tyson. The parody so well that it's unbelievable to people are a grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
And it was.
There's like,
yeah,
there's over like 8 million views. People were calling me from across the country being like, hey, I saw you on CNN or ESPN. Like they were playing on all these major networks showing this video. So
yeah.
it was kind of fun. You know, it's about like being on Survivor. You think it's going to be berserko, but it's really not that much different.
It's the right 8 million people, though.
Right, exactly.
Right. So, it's not berserko.
Yeah.
So now they announced recently that they're going to make 3 more Star Wars movies, and now this opens up the doors to so many more parodies. Do you think this is a good idea that they're going to make 3 more Star Wars movies now that Disney owns the rights to Star Wars?
From a financial aspect, why wouldn't you? You know, mm-hmm. you're going to upset the true fans, I'm sure, but they're always going to be upset because of the first 3 or, you know, the prequel that they made. And I'm sure that these new 3 will be also upsetting to a true Star Wars fan. But Disney has some pretty good storytellers. I don't think they're going to – I mean, you look at Pirates of the Caribbean – and even though the last movie was crap, they're still going to put out more, and people are still going to pay money to go see them.
Yeah. And it's not like George Lucas was really lighting the world on fire on his own in these last 3 movies.
Right, no. There's no but he didn't need to, you know? He could have made the first 3 and then just laughed all the way to the bank every month.
Okay. Ethan Kelly wants to know, Tyson, did you have anything else to say on Star Wars? I don't mean to cut you off.
No, that's it. That's all.
Okay. Ethan Kelly was no Tyson. Did you do any Black Friday shopping today?
No.
Any
I didn't.
Deals?
No, I don't really care about it. I think I appreciate people's enthusiasm for stimulating the economy, but mm-hmm. it's not for me. I would prefer to sleep in and then just enjoy my day doing whatever I want to do.
Do you buy any Christmas gifts for people?
Yeah, I buy, I have a pretty big family, not huge, but I have 4 siblings and, 3 siblings plus me, so there's 4 of us. And then I have, I don't remember, in the ballpark of 11 to 13 nieces and nephews.
Whoa.
So if I have money, enough money, I try to get gifts for everybody. If I don't have
nice.
Enough money, then I do more of a family-specific gift, you know, per family.
Yeah.
So... because really, gift giving, the kids are the ones that really, really love it. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to get kids something cool because they still have an enthusiasm for life.
Yeah. Grown-ups, yeah. Like, no matter what you get, they're like, on the drive home, can you believe they got me this? Like, what am I going to do with this thing? This piece of crap.
I didn't want this. Put it in the trunk, leave it there for 6 months.
Yeah, you're insulted. This is what they thought I would like this?
Right, exactly. I wish they gave me a gift receipt. Now it's going to be awkward for me to approach him on it.
Yeah. Ethan Kelly also wanted to know, are you going to do some Tysoning on this podcast?
I thought about it because I actually kind of have to pee right now.
Yeah.
I peed right before we started, but I drank a lot of water. I've been trying to stay hydrated, but I think I can hold it. So I don't think I'm going to have to. Plus, I have a headset in, so I think you'd hear.
Yeah.
Hear more, which I wouldn't be ashamed of. You know, everybody pees.
Everybody pees. That's right.
Yeah, I'll notify you if I do.
All right, or you know, don't know. Let's see if the listeners can find it if you do.
Okay.
So don't tell us.
Okay, I won't.
Okay. Brian Hickey wants to know, Tyson, what are you getting Sierra for Christmas this year?
What's this kid's name? Brian.
Brian Hickey. Is Sierra on your Christmas list?
Surprisingly, no. I bet that I'm on hers, but she doesn't have my address. But she's not on mine. I don't really, you know, I don't know. That was 6 years ago or something. So, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard from her probably since the finale of Token Jeans.
Mm-hmm.
I should get her something, though.
Well, Amy Murphy wants to know, Tyson, my sister and I definitely sensed sexual tension between you and Sierra. What's the story? Was there sexual tension also?
No. I mean, I guess I brought these questions upon myself.
I like that Amy and her sister were debating whether or not there was sexual tension.
Or they were feeling tension amongst themselves while watching me and Sierra. And from there, they were like, well, if we're feeling it this strong, how can Tyson and Sierra not be feeling it?
Actually, there was no debate. They both agreed. There was nobody to say, I don't know. They said, definitely.
No,
they both definitely sensed it.
I mean, there might be,
it.
But it's not sick. Yeah. From my side, there was no sexual tension. I have a lovely girlfriend who I've been dating since before Survivor for me.
So before Survivor Token Jeans.
Before Survivor Token Jeans.
Wow.
Yeah, so for me there was no tension. It was pure hatred.
Yeah. Now,
not even hatred. I mean, I'm not a hater, Rob.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. Now, you've had the same longtime girlfriend all this time. Would you, if you didn't have a girlfriend, would you be open to a showmance on Survivor?
You know, there's probably some aspects of being on Survivor with someone that you get to see maybe the darkest side of them, but also maybe the truest and most real. So I would say that might be a good place actually to, you know, to meet someone if you were on the market or if there was someone you really connected with.
It worked out for your buddy, Boston Rob, for our mutual buddy, Boston Rob.
Our mutual friend, yes, our mutual friend, Boston Rob. It worked out great for him. And Amber's a lovely woman, and, you know, it couldn't have turned out better. So, I've never been in a situation on Survivor where I felt like, you know, I'm clicking really well with this girl. Like, I'm friends with most everybody on the show when I'm on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate everybody for who they are. I actually can appreciate the ridiculousness of everyone's personality to a certain degree. I'm quite entertained by pretty much everybody. There's few people that I don't find entertaining. And but I've never felt like that on the show. How about you?
Would I be interested in a showmance? I probably wouldn't be up for showmance on the show because I feel like it's not a good idea strategically, let alone be.
But what about on your seasons? Was there any type of attraction there with anybody that
I would say maybe
you were
there,
like
there
keeping
might have
your
been.
Fingers crossed?
There might have been attraction, but at the same time, I didn't want to jeopardize my game. That's what, you know. a lot of people have criticized my game the first time and said that I got too distracted by the girls. You know, it was a sexually charged season in that it was the first time they ever did men versus women. And there was a lot of like eighth grade dance type stuff talking about the girls and whatnot. And a lot of people accused me of, you know, that being part of my downfall, being distracted by the girls. I don't believe that was the case. First thing that would have to happen, a girl would have to be interested in me on Survivor. That would have to be the first part of that equation. So, I don't,
cause you're not going to do any chasing.
Yeah. I would seriously question, a girl that is now, making advances on me in any part of life, let alone on Survivor. So,
I mean, every time I got out there and there was a hot girl out there, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to ruin this girl's day so hard, and she doesn't even know it yet. Like, that's usually the thing that would go on in my mind. I was like, this girl probably doesn't have too many of her days completely destroyed, but I'm going to make sure that when she thinks of her worst day in her life, I had something to do with it.
Why? Like, you're saying that you were just going to be mean to her, or if she's going to try to talk to you and you're going to...
No, I think that just voting her out, like, my whole goal is just to ruin everyone's day on Survivor.
Oh.
You know, so when I look at people, especially on the show, it's not like, oh, she's hot, I'm going to try hooking up with her. It's, she's a pretty girl, but she has no clue what she's in store for, because I'm going to wreck her day so hard when the time comes.
But that's not how you played on Heroes versus Villains.
Well, I didn't really get shown on Heroes versus Villains.
That's what you were doing.
I was biding my time, because I knew that if I just laid low, I would make it to the merge no problem. Yeah. I mean, there were some circumstances that prohibited me from getting to the merge. But mostly I was just focused on my gameplay after the merge.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of laying low till then, but I had so many plans in store. I was going to hide the rice. I think we already talked about that. I was going to take the rice and break it all up in portions and hide it everywhere. And so the only way that they would get to eat is if they kept me around.
Interesting.
And it would only
that's
last one
plan.
Or two votes, you know? What?
Yeah.
I think it would only last one vote, or when I needed to really save myself, but I think it would work.
All right. Can I ask you something with the Heroes versus Villains? I know you, this isn't your favorite subject of conversation to talk about, but I asked people today, what are the questions you want to hear Tyson talking about? And I got an interesting response back from somebody from your tribe in Heroes versus Villains. Russell Hance tweeted to me. He had a question that he wanted me to ask you.
Okay.
He said, did he really think I was going to vote Parv out? And if I would have, he would have been true in an alliance with me. Interesting. Russell Hance has a question he wants you to answer.
Okay. So here's what because Russell and I had a bunch of discussions leading up to the vote.
Yes. But you guys haven't talked about this since?
Him and I?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, I don't talk with Russell that often. I talked to him on the phone a little bit right after Heroes and Villains, and then in New York for the finale. But in my mind, I wanted him to play the idol or vote Poverty. So I didn't know which way he was going to go, but I felt that I had convinced him enough that he needed to play the idol for himself, which would flush the idol out, or he would vote Poverty. And then if Poverty was gone, I would have had a plan B with Russell.
Okay.
Because Russell would have had nowhere else to go. So I had my Boston Rob alliance with the huge majority of the tribe, but then also Russell, who would have been an outcast and a loner at that point, would have also, I would have assumed, aligned himself with me to a certain degree.
I feel like Russell's saying here, could I really have trusted you, Tyson? Were you really going to work with me?
I mean, I was pretty friendly with most people on that show. I was actually really friendly with pretty much everybody. And I think that even the people who voted me out weren't the happiest about voting me out. They wanted Rob out more, but he had won the immunity challenge, and they liked me, but they knew strategically that that's where they had to go with it.
Yeah.
And then with Russell, you know, on the show, I actually got along great with Russell on the show.
Yeah.
You know, in real life, if he were my next door neighbor, I don't know how well we'd get along, but on the show, under the circumstances, him and I got along fine.
Okay.
And so I was just, I think on the show, you have to have as many options as possible at all times because you don't know which direction the show is going to take. So in my mind, I was like, if I can get Parvati gone, who every time I talk to her, I can tell that we're not going to be an alliance at any point, a strong alliance. But with Russell, I felt like if he has no option or if he realizes that I'm the guy he needs to go to, then that could be something that would potentially work out.
All right, well, let me give you another question from a former survivor. If a former survivor has a question for any of my guests, I always try to ask it. Dawn Meehan wants to know, hi, Tyson. Is it true you went bowling for your City Weekly photo shoot? You are so damn cool, Tyson. I can't keep up. XO. So is this true? You went bowling for a photo shoot?
Yeah, that's true. True. Salt Lake City Weekly magazine did a thing on a couple reality contestants. And I went bowling and then I posed for pictures. And then we told the bowling alley that we were with Bowling World USA magazine or something like that.
And
we told them that. And then they were like, oh, what are your average scores? And the photographer, the girl who was the worst bowler, I was like, oh, she averages like a 270. And we were blowing their minds just by lying to them. It's amazing when you lie about your accomplishments, how many minds you can blow.
Really?
Yeah. So we just went and goofed around, and it was actually quite a bit of fun. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm pretty skeptical of doing interviews. I don't really care much to do very many of them. I do yours every year because I like talking to you as a person.
Yeah, we have fun.
It has nothing to do with Survivor or with anything else, but I know when I talk to you, we're going to have a fun time. And so I do that, and I look forward to it every season. But most people that contact me for an interview, I just politely decline or respectfully decline. I don't know what's the term.
Well, and I appreciate it. That we get to have these conversations, because I find that it's not as fun to talk to somebody who does a million interviews. You know what I mean?
Right. So this is an exclusive. These are more exclusive, Rob. So I'm helping you. I'm helping me by not having to do a bunch of interviews all the time. And it's not a lot. I mean, it's maybe I get like 5 requests a year or a season, you know, to do interviews with other Survivor bloggers or publications or anything like that. And the City Weekly one, I tried declining for a little while, but the guy was actually pretty funny. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. But we're going to do it on my terms. So we're going to meet where I want to meet. And he wanted to go have a chicken wing eating contest at a strip club.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, chicken wing eating contest I could do at a strip club.
You don't seem like a strip club kind of guy.
I'm not really a strip club type of guy, and it would hurt my mom's feelings.
Right.
If she were to read City Weekly and see that I had been at a strip club, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, no, I might have thought about it if it wasn't going to be advertised that I was at a strip club. Not that I go to strip clubs, but if he really wanted to do that and that was the thing he wanted to do, the chicken wing eating contest might have been enough to draw me, to lure me in, which is probably how people get started. Addictions to pornography start with chicken wings.
How do you make that connection?
Well, they advertise the all-you-can-eat chicken wing eating contest. At the strip club.
Yeah.
You go in, realize how awesome boobs are, go home, Google it on your computer, find out there's a database of literally hundreds of pictures of boobs. And then from there, it's all downhill.
Yeah, I never understood the whole idea of the strip club having like a buffet or advertising food.
Yeah,
I mean,
it seems like a place to get hepatitis.
Yeah, let's keep it separate. Like, I'll eat and then go to the strip club. Or better yet, I'll go to the strip club and then go eat. But, you know, we don't need to combine. This isn't like, you know, peanut butter and chocolate that we have to bring them together.
Right, exactly. So,
and ironically, on my season of Survivor, there was nudity mixed with peanut butter and chocolate, but that is something totally different.
That was for $1 million, Rob. You had to do it.
Yeah, it really would. You didn't. Nobody had to do anything. But I'm just saying that that's a good pairing, peanut butter and chocolate. Not trying to compare.
They are great. Yeah, they're a great pairing. I actually prefer less peanut butter in my chocolate, but some people prefer more peanut butter.
Yeah,
I'd go heavy on the chocolate. Yeah, light on the peanut butter. But yeah, I declined on that. And then he was like, well, let's go to this bowling alley and bowl. And I love bowling. I don't know if you know that about me.
It's fun.
I have my own bowling ball. I took bowling class in college.
What color
What?
Well, what color is your bowling ball?
It's like a bronze copper color with like blue swirls on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. And so I usually bowl through the winter when it's cold and not fun being outside all day long. And then, so he chose bowling and I agreed. We did it and it was magical.
And what did you bowl that day?
I bowled pretty shitty because he wanted to do the interview. So we would stop and talk for like 20 minutes and then bowl a frame and then stop and talk. And the photographer would go out on the lane and take pictures of us and pictures of me bowling and stuff like that. So it was fun, but you never got in a rhythm. And then by the end, it was just like, I didn't even really care about the game. I was just throwing the ball to throw the ball.
So, do you drink when you bowl?
I don't drink ever, Rob. My body is a temple.
Okay. That was going to be my next question is, are you a big drinker? And,
no.
Okay, this is interesting.
Yes. I've actually never had an alcoholic beverage in my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm, that's true. That's a true story.
Wow. Now, were you smoking e-cigarettes at one point, or that was just a joke?
I was smoking them as a joke. They were the non-nicotine ones.
Yeah.
Just because when they first came out, it was hilarious to smoke in public.
Yeah.
Like, we'd go out to eat, and there'd be, like, a huge vapor cloud above our table, and the manager would come over and be like, sir, excuse me, sir. And you'd be like, oh, these are electronic. Oh, okay, well, you're freaking everybody out. So as long as you're comfortable with freaking everybody out, then you're going to be okay. And I was like, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
And so I smoked those for a little while as a joke, but not like I wasn't addicted to them. It was just like, if we're going to go out somewhere public, I'm going to put my electronic cigarette in my pocket. And then on occasion, if it's really socially unacceptable, I will put a cigarette in my mouth and light it just for humor's sake.
Yeah.
But they're disgusting. Cigarettes are disgusting. But
do you get a lot of peer pressure from people to drink? Because I'm not a big drinker. You know, I'll drink once in a while socially, but I feel like I never drink as much as people want me to drink. And it seems to really make people mad when you don't drink as much as they want you to drink.
Well, misery loves company, right?
I don't
know what it is. For me, it's never been an issue because if you just tell them that you don't drink, that's usually the end of it. Sometimes they'll joke about it or, you know, be like, oh, here's this or that or something. I actually, when I was on my cycling team in Europe, that's where they drink the most. You know, they drink with every meal, and we had one Polish masseuse that was affiliated with the team, and he would always try to get me to drink. And finally, one of my teammates was like, "You know what? Tyson is so relaxed and so chill without alcohol that if you gave him alcohol, his heart would probably stop from being too relaxed. So you need to lay off of him." They were like, most of us need alcohol to take the edge off of our lives, but Tyson is already too relaxed without alcohol. And that was the last time he ever. So for, and I always have a good time. A lot of times at a bar or something, I'll be the wildest one there without any alcohol. So let that be a lesson to you, kids. You can have fun without alcohol, or, you know, drink responsibly. I don't know what message we're trying to portray. For, it's not for me, but if it is for you, then that's great.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with other people drinking around me unless they're sloppy drunk and I have to babysit them.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they're just having a good time and stuff, then I'll buy them drinks. I don't care.
Well, that's good. Maybe I just have to not drink, because then people won't get it. If I just said, hey, look, I don't drink. I don't drink. Then people wouldn't get on my case as much as if I have like three drinks and they say, oh, come on, let's do shots. Let's have 10 drinks. Maybe that would work out better for me.
Right. Or just nurse it.
I like
it.
To drink a little bit.
Yeah, just nurse one drink, or drink that little bit in secret, like an alcoholic would.
Yeah.
And then when you go out, don't drink anything.
That's good. Michael Corrin has two questions for you. He wants to know, ask Tyson for more advice on how to pick up chicks. And then also ask advice on picking up guys, if he has any. So I don't know, maybe Michael is playing for both teams, but he wants advice on picking up chicks and also advice on picking up guys, if he has any for that also.
Well, I think we talked about this. We might've talked about this before, but I think
sounds about right.
Yeah. Saying just coming up with one asinine comment to a girl usually weeds them out real quick.
Yeah.
And you know how the girl, because it, a girl, I think, a lot like a police officer who, your father's a police officer. We talked about this before. I feel like the cop who, is that correct?
Yeah, my dad was a police officer.
Yes. So I feel like if, as a cop pulls you over, already before he meets you or knows anything about you, I think he's already a little bit, to a certain degree, determined to give you a ticket or not. He already knows if he's going to give you a warning or give you a ticket before he walks up to your window. Based on his mood, based on whatever quotas he has to fill, based on how, you know, whatever. And so I think talking to girls is that same way. I think that they're already out there to meet somebody or to not meet somebody. And then based on your first impression, you can already gauge on how it's going to go. And I think if you come up with an asinine comment, like your boobs are a little lopsided, or my grandma has that same shirt, or something like that, where it's a little bit offensive, but it's also funny.
Yeah.
And then how they react to it. Because if they're like, stop being a dick and walk away, you've already won, because you don't look like, you don't look pathetically shut down.
You know, I'm more interested in what should you say to the cop when the police officer pulls you over? You're not saying that you should say something flip to the police officer, are you?
Yeah, I always do. Well, I had one guy pull me over in a construction zone, and he was like, you were going 20 over. What was going on in your brain? I was like, well, I just wanted to get home. And then when I saw you, I was like, shit, I'm busted. And he laughed and was like, well, why were you trying to get home? I was like, because it's late and I'm tired. And he's like, okay, yeah, well, construction's shitty, but just make sure to, you know, follow the law. And so that worked out great.
Okay, well, that's not – you weren't really disrespectful. You were sort of loose with him, weren't saying like, hey, are your balls lopsided or anything like that?
I tell him what I think. If they're – like one guy was like pulled my girlfriend over for going 5 over the speed limit, and then I had to pee super bad at that point. So that's why we were kind of going fast. Get it to that gas station. We were on a road trip. He comes to the passenger side door where I'm at, and he's got this big bushy mustache, and he was super abrasive. He's like, you know what the speed limit is here, you know, and you can get a ticket, and you big city folk think you can just plow through here at any speed you want, and I deal with people like you all day. And I was like, sir, your tone is so abrasive right now. It doesn't need to be. We're both here listening. And he was like, well, this is on film and camera, and I don't think I'm being abrasive. Like, if you reviewed the footage with your peers, you will find that you are being quite abrasive. And he's like, this is how I always am. And I was like, well, then your grandchildren are scared shitless of you, and that's the reason. And he was like, well, get out of here. He was upset. I had visibly upset him.
Yeah,
but he let me go.
You got too real.
Yeah, I got so real, and I think that he he realized that he was being an ass after a little while and was like, okay, just get out of here. I'm too upset right now and you're causing too much trouble for me. I think that being overly nice to an officer doesn't do any good.
Okay.
Like people say, oh yeah, be super respectful and call him sir and admit to every single thing that you did wrong. And that's when they're the kindest to you. I think that's bullshit. I think that that doesn't matter.
Keep it real.
I think keeping it real is the best policy. And in keeping it real, regardless of what happens, you can be proud of yourself knowing that you kept it real. Because nothing I would think would be more irritating than being a complete sweetheart to a cop and then having him be like, okay, here's your huge ticket.
Yeah. It's like you're giving consent to give the ticket at that point.
Right. Because why not just ruin his day if he's going to ruin yours?
You're all about ruining people's days for such a nice man.
For such a nice person, yeah. Well, yeah, but isn't that infuriating? To be super kind to somebody and then have them, you know, give you a ticket or something to that effect.
Yeah.
That so I would say just keep it real and then you're happy with yourself. And if the outcome isn't exactly how you want it to be, at least you're not upset at yourself for being a suck ass.
Now, how about this advice of picking up guys? Do you have any advice for picking up guys? Now, I'm not sure if Michael is asking as a guy, if he just wants to know as a girl, what advice you have, but I think it's more interesting as a guy. Well, what is your advice for picking up other guys?
I think that guys appreciate extreme flirtiness. I went to Disneyland, and a lot of you may know that a lot of the male Disneyland employees are of the homosexual persuasion.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I mean, makes sense, but I never made that generalization.
Yeah, because they're performers. That's my perception, and I think it's fairly accurate because they're performers. They're fans of Disney. They love it all. And
say no more.
Yes, and so at Disneyland when we went, the happiest place on earth, the gayest place on earth. Gay means happy.
Right.
Happy means gay. So. Yeah. I think that they just appreciate straightforward flirtiness. Because I would flirt with the men, even with my girlfriend there, they knew I was straight, whatever. As long as you can be flirty and fun with them. Like, we were getting fast passes left and right for free. Like, they would hand us a stack of fast passes and be like, there you go, guy. I'd be like, awesome.
So you flirted with guys to get fast passes?
At Disneyland.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, I got one coupon that was good for any ride in the park for up to 6 people fast pass.
Whoa.
And then I got multiple coupons for Star Tours and for Space Mountain that were a fast pass good all day long for 2 people.
Yeah.
So we'd keep the fast pass on us and just go ride it again if we wanted to.
Yeah, just keep coming back.
Yeah,
like walking
just keep
past.
Coming back
yeah.
through the fast pass. So, yeah, so I think it's a little bit different with guys and girls. I think guys just probably straightforward.
Be direct. The
direct
approach.
That's direct and flirty. And I don't think guys are as willing to shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then a girl, I think, as long as you come up with a comment that is – it has to be balanced in a way that it's funny. But if she doesn't like it and she tells you to go to hell – that you don't look like a jackass because the comment you said was so great already that it doesn't matter.
So for a girl or a guy,
that
your straightforwardness would be rewarded with a guy.
Right. Correctly. Correct. Yeah. Correctly. Correct.
Yeah. You are an oracle, Tyson.
Perhaps.
All right. Mark Solera wants to know, this is probably an easy question, who has better hair, you or Malcolm? What'd you make of the hair on this guy, Malcolm?
Yeah, his hair's not bad. The curly brown,
is your hair,
long hair.
Is your hair long or short right now?
Mine is long. I mean, if you watch those YouTube videos on my YouTube channel, that's about me real time. You know,
okay.
Those are a few weeks ago.
You're not already in the can.
But, Right. But yeah, it's pretty long. And I think I'm going to probably try and go 2 more years with it.
Yeah.
So right now it's at about 2 years, which is below my shoulders. I can put it all in a ponytail just barely. So I actually, I think we talked about this last time. I grew it out from a rat's tail.
That's right.
So it, so I had a rat shaved head with a rat's tail, and I just grew it out from there. So the center back of my hair is like 2 or 3 inches longer than the rest of my hair because I just let the rat's tail grow out too.
Yeah.
But so I can put it all in a ponytail. I think I'm going to go 2 more years so I can look like a real rocker. And then I usually just when I get sick of it, I just shave it to the skin and let it grow again.
There are some guys on The Amazing Race this season. They have long hair. They call them long hair don't care.
Long hair don't care.
Yeah, do you like that?
Is that in well, it's kind of in reference to the Honey Badger video, I think.
Yeah.
And that's been played out.
Played out.
I mean, let's just be honest. Yeah, it's too many people have referenced it too many times.
Now, Tyson, what if, God forbid, someday you were to start losing your hair? What would you do? Would you do the, like, well, let's play it out both ways. What if you started losing your hair in the back?
Okay.
What would you do? Would you do the Steven, would you do like the Steven Seagal and like pull the hair in the front back in like the tight ponytail?
Well, I think if you start losing it, I first of all, I don't think I'm going to lose my hair anytime soon. It's pretty thick and I'm 33. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if I were going to thin out, I would have already started thinning a little bit by now.
Yeah.
But I think if you're losing your hair, you have to embrace it either way. It's when are unsure of yourself that it looks real terrible.
Yeah,
if you're
going to
do the Steven Seagal, then do it with pride. And be a badass.
Be a badass.
But if you can't do that, then you've got to come to terms with what you can do and be confident in it. Like, I feel like I have the type of personality where I would get away with it all because I wouldn't care. And I would think that a Steven Seagal would be funny. A comb over would be funny. A young comb over would be hilarious. Like if I was 25 and thinning and I just rolled with a comb over from there on out, that'd be great, I think. But I think the best looking probably for someone who's losing their hair is just to keep it nice and short like Scoopin does.
Yeah, I think that's the move. I think that's the move.
It's definitely the move. I mean, if you have the personality to be hilarious, then growing it out with it bald is great. But you have to have a certain amount of confidence to pull it off right.
Mm-hmm. And so I didn't mean to cut you off before. You said Malcolm's hair is pretty good.
It's
You're
okay.
impressed. It's okay.
I mean, it's okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's spectacular. I think I probably have better hair than him. But
yeah,
there's people out there with better hair than me. My hair isn't my one redeeming quality. You know, it's not. It's not the bulk of who I am. And there are people whose hair is so great that is who they are.
So, that's not you.
And that's not me, no. I don't think so. Maybe it is. I feel like my hair's fine, but I don't feel like people are itching to touch it every chance they get.
There's more to you than just great hair. I'll be the first to say that.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me.
You're welcome. Paolo Arago said, Tyson, exclamation point. I've been waiting to ask you this, but I always forget. You mentioned before that you did missionary work in the Philippines, as you mentioned in this podcast as well. And seeing that the current season is filmed in the same country, I thought it would be fitting to ask, can you give us an example of some Filipino words or phrases you've learned? Thanks. Now, bad job by me. Missed the obvious connection here between you and the country of Philippines, which this is Survivor Philippines. That's a bad job by me. Great job by Paolo. Do you have any Filipino words or phrases you could share with us?
What do you want to know? Munong ako na magtagalog, pero matagal na hindi akong magsalita kayo medyo mahirapan na ako.
And what does that mean?
I just said I know Tagalog, but it's been a long time since I've spoken it, so I'm a little bit, I don't know how you would translate that in English.
Yeah. Now, one of the things you missed this season was that the survivors brought, like, toys and candy to a Filipino village as one of their reward challenges, and they did played like a pinata game.
Oh, I would have loved that, speaking with the natives.
Yeah.
You know, is this a spoiler alert about my experiences in spring?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, well, I did get invited to go back on, not this season, the next season, but they went a different direction.
Oh, well, and I don't know if that's a spoiler.
It's not really a spoiler. Well, if everybody was thinking that I was going to be on the next season, I'm not. So that,
spoiler.
There in itself, that's a spoiler, yeah.
Tyson is not on the next season of Survivor.
And I think it was because of my connection with the Philippines that they even thought about bringing me back. But
okay. Oh,
I was a little apprehensive. I think my apprehension was maybe my downfall, because they were like, do you want to do this again? I was like, you're really going to do this to me again? I don't know. And then I went along with it for a while, and then it didn't pan out. So easy come, easy go, Rob.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't know, because I don't get asked back. But
not yet.
Is that,
Rob,
I
predict you will be asked back before the end of the series.
Well, it's going to have to go on for a long time, Tyson. No, is going back... Is that
back.
They did bring Scoopin' back. I guess, yeah.
And Ozzy.
And Oz, they did. Ozzy's gone back three times.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm telling you, if Scoopin' can come back, anybody can come back.
I guess so. But is going back even something that you still want to do?
I don't really want to do it.
Yeah.
It's hard to pass up a chance at $1 million, you know?
But you're going to blow it in 3 months anyway.
I know, but well, that would be the whole purpose, would be to live like that for 3 months. But I think, I don't know. I feel like Survivor was so long ago for me, and it wasn't even that long ago. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. But I still feel like it was a lifetime away, and that it's not really who I am. And I also feel like I have too much dignity and self-respect to go back. There's so many people who have been on the show that have zero self-respect that I feel like asking them would be easier than asking me. I don't know. It's a hard decision, because it really is hard to pass up a chance at $1 million. And to tell you the honest truth, being on the island is so awesome. Like, playing the game of Survivor is awesome. It's a fun experience. I love, if I could live my life like that for the rest of my life, if Mark Burnett were like, Tyson, we're just going to film you out on an island, having the time of your life by yourself for like 5 years, I would do that, because that's how fun it is.
Yeah.
But all the bullshit before and once you get home is the part that's not worth it.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's worth taking second place to deal with that bullshit.
Yeah. I sense a little bit that you're not happy with Survivor in 2012.
How do you mean?
I just feel like, I know that I feel like you seem a little bit like you're angry with the show.
The show in general, like me watching the show?
The show in general.
To
have a lot of warm feelings towards the show right now.
Well, I've always been pretty indifferent towards the show.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, for example, I'll give you a few examples. On Heroes and Villains, they had 10 people go on Dave Letterman to do the top 10.
Yeah.
Which is fine. There's 20 people on the show, only 10 spots on the top 10. I understand that completely. But for me to get a phone call from my friend who's like, hey, how come you're not on Dave Letterman with those other 10 Survivor people? You know, how much time does it take for some lowly employee at CBS to email everybody and say, hey, we have 10 spots. Not everybody's going to get to go, but you should watch it because, you know, 10 of your peers are going to be on the show.
Yeah.
I get it. But I'm explaining to everyone else.
Yeah.
So another example, after the Heroes and Villains finale, they sent a lot of us home the Monday after the finale. The finale's on Sunday. They sent us home Monday. I got a text from Boston Rob or Coach or somebody, and they were like, how come you're not at this big CBS party that's on Wednesday night? And I was like, well, I didn't even hear about it. And it was the same thing, you know? It's like, for me, I'm the type of person that if CBS had just said, hey, we're doing this party, not everybody's going to be invited because it's not going to work out that way. Sorry. To me, that would be a professional way to go about it.
Yeah.
As opposed to me hearing from somebody, you know, like that. Another example, this spring when I flew out for casting again, I did all that. I didn't want to go out for casting. I hate seeing people at casting because then they all want to call you. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't want to come out for casting. If you want me on the show, just that's fine. But I don't want to come out to casting. I don't want to see people because the second you see people in a room that are going to be on the show with you, your phone starts ringing. Oh no, that won't happen. Bullshit. It happens every season that they do that.
Yeah.
So I go out, I play friendly. I go out to LA. I see 15 people in this room and I get calls from 10 of them, mm-hmm. you know, and that's exactly, I didn't want to play the game for 8 months. I wanted to play the game for 2 months while I was on the island.
Yeah. You don't like the politics.
So, I don't like the politics. And then they're like, okay, we'll let you know in 2 weeks. And then a month goes by and you get a phone call, 2 more weeks. And then another month goes by, we'll call you tomorrow. And then a few days go by and then you get an email. Sorry. It's not going to work out. We went a different direction. We'll call you today to discuss. And then you don't hear anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
In any other line of work, all those people would be jobless because they're so inefficient and ineffective at what they do. And it's disrespectful to everybody. And I feel like the high horse of the entertainment industry is complete bullshit because for mm-hmm. some reason, you know, even being on the show yourself, I'm sure there was a time when you were like, and maybe you weren't, but I think for the most part, people feel like they're better than other people because they were on TV, and that shouldn't be the hierarchy criteria of society is who was on TV or who deals in entertainment. And that's exactly how all these people function. They feel like their time is precious. As soon as they need anything from you, they need it overnight. So that's right. My reasoning for saying being on the island is a wonderful experience. It's all awesome. There's not a negative side to being out on the island playing the game, in my opinion. But all the bullshit that they put you through pregame and afterwards is not worth the money.
Well, Tyson, I appreciate you going there. That was very real and raw emotions. And I definitely, you know, I have not been through everything that you've been through, but you know, I had a good experience on the show the first time. The second time didn't go my way, and whereas, you know, I got invited to all the parties and everything the first time around, then the second time around it was like, okay, we're done. Thank you very much for playing. You know, don't call us, we'll call you. You know, that's right. That sort of thing. And it's a tough thing to deal with. You know, because they, you know, if you're waiting around for you know, and there's a lot of people who, you know, just wait around for that phone to ring. Hey, I got to, you know.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sad that that's the way it has to be. And I feel like, you know, as far as personal relations, and that's probably the way Hollywood works all the time. But for me, it's like if you show people respect, you get respect back.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't show somebody respect, if it blows up in your face, then, you know, you've only got yourself to blame.
And I will say also on the other side of that equation, though, I'm sure there was a point in the early days of the game where, you know, people from CBS were taking phone calls from all the survivors. The survivors themselves are the reasons why, you know, this is
why
like
they
that
have to be this way.
There's 400 survivors, and there's probably, you know, 25, 30 of them calling up casting people all the time, like, hey, you got to put me on the show, you got to get me on, blah, blah, blah. You know, being just ruining it for everybody else you know, the really like annoying people that they would never even put back on. They were lucky they got on once, let alone twice. So there are people. There are people who have ruined it for other people as well. And I think that's the reason why.
I understand that. I feel like when you put yourself in their shoes, that it's easier to ignore somebody than to tell them no. A lot of people feel like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like all the people I've worked with on Survivor, I've been respectful and timely with, and to not get that reciprocated is the part that's annoying.
I get it. I hear what you're saying.
So, and also I feel like Survivor needs me more than I need Survivor. So for them to be on their high horse looking down at me, I'm like, fuck you guys. You know, I'm like, I didn't even care to be on the show the first time. And then I went on twice and it was all easy come, easy go to me. So for you to treat me like this, thinking that you're going to get the upper hand on me is unacceptable.
It's like you're the girl that is, you know, the guy who's going to treat you bad. You're going to want her more. Well, as soon as you're not interested in that guy, that's when they're going to start being more interested in you.
Maybe.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, I don't care either way. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, if I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, Rob.
Welcome to my world. I never even know what I'm saying, especially when we're getting this far into a podcast.
But I don't want to be bitter, and I don't feel like I'm bitter. I just feel like, you know, it's probably just a rude awakening to the way things are in the entertainment industry.
Look, and I would say this to most of the former survivors. If you're sitting around waiting for, hey, I'm going to, you know, and it's not just Survivor, it's Big Brother too. You know, I know a lot of people like this that are just sitting around waiting for somebody from CBS to call them up and say, hey, we're bringing you back. You know, there are more and more seasons. Yeah, they bring people back. You cannot wait around for your entire, the rest of your life for the, you got to move, you got to go on with your life.
Yeah.
And I know that people are saying, okay, yeah, this is coming from a guy who spends God knows how many hours a week talking about the show. That's fine. But I'm moving on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
No, it's such a miserable existence. I can't even imagine just that being your plan for life.
Yeah.
So they'll probably invite me back in 2 years and then that's where I'm going to go. You know, it's true. You, even while the show is airing and you're on TV, you have to live your life.
If it happens, it happens. That's it.
Right. And reach for your goals, for your personal goals that are within your control.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that say, I can't come on and do the show because if I say, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And then people, and then if I go back for All Stars, then I don't want people to be mad at me. You know, and it's just like, there's, you know, more and more seasons going by. There's less and less of a chance that you're going to be back on. So just live for today. Stop.
Right.
With this.
Live for today and do what makes you happy.
Yeah. You can't plan how it's going to go.
Right. Exactly. That's something that's not in your control, really. I mean, if you just be awesome all the time, it's probably going to happen, but still.
Yeah. And last question for you, Tyson, here tonight. And thank you for being so generous with your time on a Friday night. Ron Chan wants to know, Tyson, what is the meaning of life?
It's the meaning of life or the purpose of life? Because I feel like we just kind of went over it. It's, for me, the meaning of life is to do what makes you happy.
Yes.
So, for example, I was driving I drive a hunk of shit car. It's like 15 years old, but I don't have any car payments. It never breaks down or hasn't yet. So I was driving it the other day. And I was like, I wish I had a nicer car, but at the same time, I don't want to make the sacrifices and give up all the free time I have to drive something a little nicer that's eventually going to get to this state anyways. So for me, and this is not with everybody because some people's priorities are different. For me, my priorities are to be outside and to enjoy being outside with my friends and family. And so I ride my bike a lot. I go skiing all the time. I go running. You know, I do a little bit of work. I've always, you know, I always maintain that I don't do any work, and I don't really, I mean, I sell bicycles, but I work like 15, 20 hours a week and I'm able to pay all my bills. But then I have 4 or 5 hours a day where I can just go enjoy doing what I love doing most.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's what makes me the most happy. I challenged myself once to work 30 hours a week and I was going to try it for 2 weeks. I did it for 1 week and said, you know what, this isn't for me, because the whole time I'm just staring at the clock, wishing I was outside doing something that I love.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, whatever it is, like, there's not the one thing with it. For you, it's, you know, being outside doing the things that you love. For me, it's, you know, doing this podcast, connecting with people, and, you know, horsing around about these shows that I love to talk about. Whatever it is for you, you know, you could be working 50, 60 hours a week, and maybe you're working 50, 60 hours a week because what you love to do is spend time with your family. And that's what allows you to do that. And you can have some sort of purpose for that. But, you know, whatever
you provide for your family, or if your goal is to make a bunch of money and that's what makes you happy is having a large bank account, then I'm not going to judge you. Do that. That's your thing, but that's not my thing.
But just,
so you just have to figure out
what it is.
Yeah. You just have to figure out what makes you feel accomplished every single day when you go to bed.
Yeah. And as long as you're, you know, taking your steps to get towards whatever that thing is, I think that's when you are having purpose and that's when you're enjoying life. And yeah, again, you're good. Well said. That's the purpose of life, not necessarily the meaning of life, but that we can answer.
Right. The meaning of life, I know as well as the next. You know, those mysteries will be unfolded to us in the future by aliens, hopefully.
Hopefully. Tyson, this was a very interesting, weaving conversation. We covered a lot of ground here tonight.
Yeah. Did we get too real with it?
I think but here's the thing. If anybody, and for, God bless you, the people that are making it 2 hours into our conversation. People have shopping to do. People have work to do. Everybody's busy. But if you made it this far, if you were interested enough in what we had to say, God bless you. I don't think we got too real for whoever is still listening. Because that's the thing about the podcast. You turn it off when you get bored. So somehow we've held people's attention this far. And this is, even if nobody gets this far, this has been a very fun conversation for me, Tyson.
Me too. You know what? People always get this far, though. I read some of those comments on your podcast, and there's always the guy that's like, I fucking hate Tyson. I can't believe that you had him back. I hate him so
nobody
bad.
Nobody says that.
And
nobody
then I listen
that.
To the whole 2.5 hours, and I'm like, well, joke's on you, bro.
Yeah, give a hashtag here. What do you want people? What should people tweet if they got this far?
I don't know. I was trying to think of some endurance event that we could name it, you know. But marathon just seems too cliche.
Yeah, that's too, that's too cliche.
Maybe just the meaning, the purpose of life answered.
That's too long.
Oh, that's too long.
What about
hashtag?
Hashtag HGH.
Yeah, you can hashtag HGH. Do that, because that'll be a little controversial and people will be real interested.
HGH, that's right. I think I got to get some.
I want to give a little disclaimer here, because I did talk quite a bit about HGH and I do know quite a bit about it.
Yeah.
But some of my facts may not be 100% scientific and medically backed. They're just generalizations.
Yeah, so don't do HGH until you talk to your doctor. Don't go
right,
by Tyson's
exactly.
word. Yeah.
And if there is a doctor listening and who's like, well, Tyson said the wrong number by 0.2 milligrams on that, you know, on the dosage or something, doctors, don't hate me, bro. I'm uneducated.
I would be very curious to know if we have any doctors in the audience of this show, because doctors are very busy.
I was assuming that they were mostly doctors.
Mostly talk. We have a high medical percentage of people that listen to this show. Yeah,
it
I would be very
say that on your analytics.
Yeah, it does not say that on Google Analytics. And there may not be, there may be doctors that listen to the show, but they're not going to come forward and like, well, I'm a doctor, and I listened to the whole 3-hour podcast with Tyson.
I had to push 2 patients out just to listen to the entire podcast.
Yeah, I have been told, though, that actually somebody, in the past, I had gotten an email from one doctor who said they were playing the podcast. Like during they were operating and they had it on a speaker during operations, which is always interesting.
Yeah, so the person getting operated on probably has all this weird subliminal stuff going on,
probably, and God knows if any nocturnal emissions after this when they wake up from operating.
I would assume so, because with the pitch of your voice, Rob, it's all I can do to hold back.
Yes. All right. On that note, Tyson, have a very happy holiday season. If we don't talk to you, have a happy new year. And we look forward to speaking with you sometime during Survivor 26.
Excellent. That sounds great. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for your time. And to all the listeners out there, I don't have anything to say to them. Thank you for listening. That was easy enough.
Yeah. All right. And take care, Tyson.
And what?
Take care.
Take care. Yes, take care.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, bye.
There now. You haven't had some horrible nightmare that you were back in time. You're back here, safe and sound in good old 2013. And that was Tyson Apostle. So Tyson never did come on the podcast during Survivor 26. Him and I were trading text messages back and forth. And at the end of the season, he said he wasn't going to be able to do it, but he promised me one hell of a podcast sometime in the future. We'll keep you posted on when that future podcast is going to be. As somebody who's a friend of Tyson, it's been really, really fun to see him go from where he was during this interview to somebody who has probably the best chance in the game to be the winner of this season. So really, really fun and a great opportunity to do one of these RHAP flashbacks. Okay, so going forward here, yes, Thanksgiving is coming up. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving with their family. For podcasting, we're going to have a Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. I'll keep you posted on what time that's going to be. I know Stephen Fishback is traveling to be with his family on Wednesday night. And then on Friday, we're going to talk to Andrea Belke, and we have a very fun show planned for Friday with Andrea. And of course, we're going to wrap up this season of The Walking Dead this upcoming Sunday, and I believe we're actually going to try to do our Amazing Race podcast this upcoming Sunday as well. So lots of podcasts coming over the 4-day weekend. If you're going to be doing any shopping, and especially of the online variety, I hope you think of us. Use our link. Either go to robhaswebsite.com/Amazon or to go to the Black Friday homepage on Amazon, go to robhaswebsite.com/Black Friday. Hope everybody has a great holiday. All the best to you and your family here in the United States. And we will talk to you guys again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.